as God begins to speak into the lives of his people. Also on tomorrow, let's see, we got some other upcoming events. Of course, tonight, youth service tonight, and so we want all of our youth involved in youth service. Sister Gabby has been doing a great job kicking off our youth service, so we want to get all the youth involved in that. And then also coming up on tomorrow, well, why is this thing jumping around? Stay where you at. Amen. Every first Sunday, you know, we experience water baptism. Is somebody back up there? Somebody snuck in up there on us? Amen. That joker don't want to stay where it's at. There we go. Amen. From pain to power tomorrow. Okay. There we go. Every first Sunday, we partake in baptism. So we are, for those who have not been water baptized, we'll make sure we're following Jesus Christ in water baptism. So every first Sunday, even though we do it every first Sunday, the water run every day. Come on, Bishop. Yeah, the water runs every day. So if you feel the need to get dunked today, we'll do it today. Praise the Lord. So, yeah, we ain't set to no time schedule on that. So praise God. And then, of course, tomorrow, as I said, the 14th through the 16th is our week of revival, time of revival. June 24th is the first time home buyer seminar that's taking place June 24th at 10 a.m. from 10 to 2. Lunch will be served. It's a free event. Come out and get some information about buying a home for the first time, or even if you have a home that was flooded. It's going to have a wealth of information from Lacey and Associates, Behetha. I always mess her name up, but been knowing her for years, Bishop. But one of them kind of names with a couple A's, a couple H's, Behetha. Behetha. Say you got to breathe when you say it, Behetha. Behetha. So, but yeah, her team will be here on the 24th with us to share some information about home buying, as well as some flood recovery funds that are available as well. So if you already have a house, but you need some, hey, Sister Deb, have a house but need some assistance or some information about flood recovery, be a great time to attend there as well. If not for anything else, come get a free meal. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all should have been clapping right there. Amen. You know, church folk like to eat. Tomorrow. Somebody shout tomorrow. Tomorrow, June 14th, early in the day before. There we go. Hey, y'all. How are you? June 14th, we're going to spend some time in cleaning up, getting the house ready for service on tomorrow evening. Hey, little lady. Getting the building ready for service on tomorrow evening. So if you have some time available tomorrow, we would love for everybody to come and assist in the sanctuary, getting it ready for the week of revival. So if you are available, you could text the word work to the number 225-361-2016. If you're available anytime on tomorrow, praise God. Amen. So, yeah, if you got some free time, come help out, come assist along with that. Amen. And then, of course, we're going to get into the word on tonight as we begin to study God's word tonight. I pray that you have your Bibles with you on tonight as we get ready to go into God's word. Are y'all ready for the word? Somebody shout, it's time for the word. Yeah, it's time for the word. So grab your Bibles. We're going to first go to Ephesians, grab your Bibles, go to Ephesians. Amen. Praise God. Ephesians chapter number 5. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5. Of course, this sermon series, we're entitled The God Life, Living the Godly Life, the life that God wants us to live. And each installment of this sermon series derived from the six pillars that we have determined are what are necessary to live the God's life, the God life. And this sermon series, this installment is focused on family. Well, I'm sorry, we actually on friends this week. I done got ahead of myself. I'm going backwards. Last week was on family. We on friends. Praise God. Amen. So we're on friends. Let me get to friends. Amen. Amen. So we're on friends. I told you on Sunday, you know, a lot of television shows, really, if you take attention or pay attention or take account to what's happening in society today, even the television shows have moved away from family and is now focusing mostly on friends. All the shows that you see now is not even centered around families. The characters in the show are now only friends, and it doesn't really even gear towards the family. We had shows back in the day like Home Improvement. It was all centered around the family. Family shows like Growing Pains, all about the family. The Huxtables, who everybody remember the Huxtables, huh? Everybody wanted to be a part of the Huxtable family. All these shows were focused around family. Family matters. They really determine what really matters, and that's family. All these shows and, you know, Family Ties, all these shows were focused around family. Even Blackish. I don't know what's up with this remote. Maybe the battery going dead, but we'll get it together. Even Blackish today is now focused around family. But there were shows back in the past where we have seen Steinfeld and the show called Friends and different shows of such only focused on friendships. Just friendships. None of the characters were related. Everything was about friends. Friends, nothing else. And that's just really a sign of our culture today and the moral decline in families, because nobody's talking about families no more. I mean, everything is so popular now, even with the social media platforms. You know, people are more concerned about how many likes they get on Facebook, how many Instagram followers they have, how many friends they have on Facebook. Everything is geared towards friends. Friends. But we should know as believers that the bedrock of any culture or society is family. Matter of fact, when God created the heavens and the earth, the first thing he did was create family. Right? And he wanted the family to fill the earth. Matter of fact, he had a family before he had friends. Isn't that something? God had a family before he had friends. He called Abraham a friend of his. But before Abraham, he had a family, Adam and Eve. Right? So he created family before friendship. So this sermon installment is about friends. So let's define friends as Webster have defined friends, or a friend. A friend is a person whom one knows, with whom one has a bond or mutual affection, typically exclusive of sexual or family relations. A friend. A person who acts as a supporter of a cause, organization, or country by giving financial or other help. That's a friend. That's a true friend. Somebody could help you out financially. Amen. Yes, Lord. That's a real friend there. You can really find out who your friends are when you know, if you have a need, if they answer the phone. Yeah. So a friend is somebody who can support you, a person who can even help you financially, a person who is not an enemy, or one who is on the same side. I want to test that, as I told you on Sunday. I want to challenge that definition by Webster as well, because just because somebody is on your side doesn't mean that necessarily that they're for you. Just because they're there with you doesn't mean that they're there for you. There's a difference between having people who are around you and people who are really there for you. Because truth of the matter, we're all in here together, but everybody in here is not necessarily for you. Huh? I could be honest with you, if something broke out, if somebody came in here with a pistol or a gun and they started shooting, I'm going to cover my wife first. Amen. Because I'm for her. I'm going to go grab my kids first because I'm for them. Y'all quiet. You know, but in reality is that everybody who is with you is not necessarily for you. So you have to be able to identify, quantify, and qualify those who are friends and those who are just associates. Can you say amen to that? Because a lot of us truly really have associates. We don't have true friendship. We got people who say they're friends, but they're not really friends. Right? And I know you're probably thinking in your mind right now, you're categorizing those who are associates and those who are friends in your life. But we should do that on a regular basis. We should determine those who are friends and those who are just associates. Amen. So the next definition, I don't know what it is about this thing. I'm about to change the batteries on here in a second. A person who is not an enemy, one who is on your side, is also defined by Webster a contact associated with the social networking website, kind of like social media, like Facebook. You know, we get these things like friend requests, right? You know, truly, but are they a friend just because they request to be a friend? The Bible says if you want friends, you must first what? Show yourself to be friendly, right? So friendship is deeper than pushing a button on a social media platform. Amen. Friendship is much deeper than us just having communication on a social media platform. Friendship means that there's some social interaction that we have to meet face to face, that there's a need that or a need that you may have that impacts my life just as it impacts your life. That's a true friend. The Bible says it this way, that a friend is one who sticks closer than a brother. So to be a friend is more than just a social media application. It has to have some interaction. And, of course, I told you about shows like Seinfeld and Friends. That's all they focus on. Drew Carey. All these people, none of them have relationships biologically, but they were just friends. All the television shows are focusing on friendship. Friendship. So Ephesians chapter number 5. Dwayne, can you give me some batteries out of the back that buddy in the bucket? Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 1 is what we're going to read on tonight because we're talking about the God life. It's the little AAA batteries, Dwayne. We're talking about the God life, the life that God wants us to live as believers. So Ephesians chapter number 5, then jump over to Proverbs chapter number 13. Ephesians chapter number 5 is our foundational text that we're going to leap from on tonight as we begin to study God's word. So Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Thank you, buddy. Got two of them. Yep. These in trash for me. It says Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 1, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. God has an example that he wants us all to follow, and it's his example. God has already laid out how he wants us to live. He has already prescribed the life that he wants us to live. And he's already set the example and the standard of which one should live their lives. And the Bible says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. You know, if you have kids, you know, your kids would walk around the house and they would try to emulate you, try to act as you act and do as you do. Right? And God says, as dearly loved children, I want you to be just like your kids are to you. I want you to follow my example. You know, my son, Mason, he used to crawl in the closet, put my shoes on and walk around the house like me. And every now and then, I look in the rearview mirror as we're traveling, and the things I'm doing in the front, see, he's doing in the backseat. He's just imitating me, huh? And that's how the body of Christ should be. We should be the example that God wants us to be in the earth realm. Can I say something? Because I just heard it again in my spirit. I said it once before. God wants us not to be the exception, but he wants us to be the example. I'm going to say that again. As believers, we're not to be the exception, but we are to be the example. In other words, God says that you're going to go through some hard times in life. You're not exempt from hard times and struggles and trials and tribulations. You're not going to be exempt from those things, but you're going to be the example that you can now tell people that God has brought me out. Even though I went through a storm, I'm still here. And now you're the example and not the exception. You're not exempt from hard times. Christ went through hard times. He was crucified. Good God Almighty. And the Bible says, be like Jesus. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. You are in the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. You're going to go through hard times, but God says, live that life as an example. That even though you go through hard times, be an example. Be an example. Amen. You don't want to hear about suffering, huh? Yeah, I got quiet when it started talking about suffering, picking up your cross. I was talking about pick up your keys at the Mercedes dealership or the Hummer lot. Woohoo! But when you talk about suffering, the church get quiet. But here's the thing, though. The Bible says that every man that is born of a woman that their lives are going to be filled with trouble. So you're going to go through it. But the God that you serve will walk you through it. If he take you to it, he'll take you through it. Hallelujah. So you're going to go through it, but we are to live the example of which God wants us to live as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It says as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. In other words, he was willing and obedient to give himself up. He gave an offering. He offered his own life. And because he was obedient to offer his own life, the Bible says it was fragrant unto God. When you are willing and obedient, it's as aroma unto God. That God is pleased when you offer yourself or what you have unto him. It becomes fragrant in his nostrils. And he was a fragrant offering and a sacrifice unto God. So he was willing and obedient to sacrifice himself for the sake of God. And that's the example that we have to live and walk by, is we have to be that type of example where we're willing and obedient so that we can be pleasing unto God. Proverbs chapter number 13. And I added another one to it this week. But Proverbs chapter number 13 reads this way. It says, if this thing would keep still, technology, boy, I tell you, that's Psalms. Go back to Proverbs. All right. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffer harm. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Can I tell you something today? Your friendships are important to God. Your friendships are important to God. And they should be important to you. My mom used to say, boy, you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You heard that before. It's this old saying that goes around from culture and from generation to generation, is that you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You are the sum total of the people you hang around with. Y'all better hear me. You are the sum total of everybody you hang out with. You get a little piece from this one, a little piece from that one, a little piece from this one, a little piece from that one. You are the sum total of all the people you hang around. You take a piece from, you glean from each one of them. Maybe your dress, the way you talk, your vernacular, you know, maybe even the way you walk and you act. All of that comes from somewhere. Comes from the people you hang around with. Some of you are doing some things now you never done before until you start hanging out with the people you're hanging out with now. Some of you going places you never gone before because of the people that you're with going to those places with. Hallelujah. Amen. So you are the sum total of everyone you hang around with. That's why you need to hang around with wise people. Because wise people hang around wise people, they become wiser. You hang around a fool long enough, then you become foolish. You know, the law of the land says you're guilty by association. Huh? Right, say it again, birds of a feather? Yeah. Yeah. You can be guilty by association. So you associate with someone long enough. Watch this. Association brings about assimilation. Association brings about assimilation. So when you hang around a person long enough, then you begin to assimilate, right? Or emulate. Y'all not getting it. You hang around them long enough, then you start imitating them. And they bring you into a place that you never thought you would be in, but because you have now been associating with them so long, you now become assimilated, right? True testimony, I'll be honest with you, for years I never smoked dope. I'm just be transparent. I hung around with friends who got high all the time, right? Never smoked. 24th birthday, After all them years, guys who I grew up with, they started smoking when we were 14 years old, and I never touched it. I said, oh, no, I'd never do that. And they would smoke around me. I wouldn't bother, wouldn't even bother me. And they puff, puff, pass, and pass right on past me. 24th birthday. I said, man, come on. You know, it's your birthday, man. Come on, man. You never smoke. Why you don't never smoke with us? Nah, man. You know, it ain't my thing. You know, it's not my thing. They puff, puff, pass. Come on, y'all looking at me like y'all never smoked before. Never. Good at two shoes. The other dirt, yeah. About the seventh pass around, you know, I said, you know what? Hey, it's my birthday. Why not? Right? And for the next 2 years, from that point on, I smoked every day. Woke up in the morning smoking. Went to bed at night smoking. All that time, from 14 years old, 10 years hanging around smokers, all that time, never smoked. Never had a desire to. But because association brings about assimilation, it drew me in. Right? What you tolerate today will eventually dominate your tomorrow. Did you hear me? If you tolerate it now in your life, eventually it'll dominate. If you tolerate poverty in your life, eventually poverty will dominate in your life. That's why we see this generational curse and this cycle going over and over again, because somebody tolerated. Somebody never stood up and spoke to poverty and said, not in my generation, not on my watch. Poverty, you had your rule and your reign over my mama and my grandmother and my great-grandmother, but the buck stops here. Someone never stood up to say, poverty, it'll never come in my life. I'll never be broke a day in my life. I'm not going to live like mama and them lived. I'm not going to live like grandma and them lived. This is it. But yet they tolerate it. So they found themselves in the same cycle of poverty. Right? Somebody got to break the cycle. So what you tolerate today will eventually dominate in your tomorrow. So that's why it's so important about who you hang out with. Are we studying tonight? Yes, all right. So here it is. Proverbs chapter number 13. Psalms. There we go. I don't know what's up with this thing. We got to get this fixed. Psalms chapter 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. The Bible says that you are blessed when you don't walk in step. Now here it is. I know the Bible says that, you know, light does have no fellowship with darkness. But what this text is telling us here is, because we know that light is only good in darkness. So it's not that God doesn't want us hanging around people, but he don't want us hanging in step with them. Y'all go get it tonight. Because see, watch this. The Bible says, how can two walk together lest they agree? In other words, if I'm in step with you, I'm in agreement with everything you're doing. Y'all not hearing me.
Yes.
If I'm walking with you in step, I'm in agreement with everything you're doing. Man, you want to get high? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Let's go get something to drink.
All right.
Let's go to a strip club.
We can do that.
Yeah, okay, let's go. Why? Because we're walking in step with one another. And where he go, I go, because I'm in agreement.
My.
Right? So now if I walk with him, but I'm not in step, yeah. I'm going to walk. Where you going?
I'm going to the strip club.
All right, I'll see you when you get back, all right? No, I'll walk with you later. I'll catch you later. When you get back, give me a shout, here. Yeah? All right, if you need something. No, I don't want to go. You know, I'm not in agreements with that. You see? So blessed is he. Thank you, Bishop. It says blessed is he that does not walk in step. In step. So if you walk with someone in their sin, then eventually the sin that they sin in, you'll be in. You see, you hang around fire long enough, eventually you're going to get burned. And I don't care what distance you hang with in fire, but eventually you're going to feel the heat of the flame. Hallelujah. And it may not singe the hairs on you, but you're going to start sweating a little bit. And that's all the devil needs, is that he just need a toehold. He don't need a foothold on you. He just need a toehold. He don't need much. And we're talking about, you know, oh, if you give the devil an inch, you'll take a mile. That's all he need is an inch, is a toe. Right? So watch this. Your struggle will eventually become a stronghold. Did you hear me? Your struggle will be eventually become a stronghold. The thing that you're struggling with, if you don't deal with it, if you don't put a hole or a halt to it, eventually your struggle will become a stronghold. If you're struggling with walking with somebody in agreement while they're going to the strip club and you're struggling with that, eventually become a stronghold and you're going to give way to it. Y'all quiet. My struggle with hanging with my friends, with them smoking for 10 years around me, eventually became a stronghold in my life because I never dealt with it. And my struggle was, man, that's them. Let them do what they do instead of stopping them. Say, hey, man, listen, you know, dude, that's, y'all don't smoke around me, you know, or me going somewhere else. Because you got a choice. Hello. You can make a decision to move on. You still love them. They still my boys. They still smoking and drinking today. Hallelujah. And I still call them up, love them, hang out, go around. Hey, man, boom. You know, for Mother's Day, Bishop McGill came to my niece's house, and boy, they were drinking up, throwing back. They offered Bishop McGill, say, you want something to drink? They went to grab him a beer, I think, you know, give him one of those Sprites. You know what I mean? So eventually, if you don't deal with it now, eventually it'll deal with you. Good God Almighty. But it says, blessed is those who does not walk in step. Let's go back to that again. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. It says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. In other words, you got to take delight in God's word. That's really where the blessings come in, is when you delight in God's word. Amen. You got to have a delight, a joy about God's word. The good stuff and the bad stuff. Because it all works for your good. Even the things in the Bible where you say, oh, God, that hurts. He said, yeah, but it's for your good. Huh? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. But God, they drive across my grass and leave big divots in my yard. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Pray for your enemy. God, come on, really? Yeah. Even the stuff that you don't like, God says take delight in that. Because you delighting in the word of God, the law of God, the word of God, then God says that you are blessed. You are blessed. That's where your blessing comes in at, is when you delight in God's word. Are you with me? And then you got to meditate on it day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. Hallelujah. Not only does God say that he's going to flourish you, but he's going to put you in a place where you'll always be nourished. Woo! I said something right there. Not only is he going to plant you in a place that you will flourish, but you'll be planted by a river that you'll always be nourished. You'll have a constant supply of nutrition. So watch this. When he blesses you, it won't just be one blessing. It'll be continual. That he'll plant you by the rivers of life so that you always have waters flowing to water you, to wash you, to nourish you. Blessed by the streams of water which yields its fruit in season. So watch this. There will never be a season of lack. There will always be a blessing in season. Good God Almighty. Did y'all hear that? That you'll never experience lack. Why? Every season that you're supposed to produce fruit, you'll yield fruit. Why? Because of your association. This all derives from Psalms verse number 1, where it says, blessed is he that does not walk in step. This is in context to that. God says you're blessed when you don't walk in step with sinners, the ways of mockers and all that. He says, I'm going to plant you next to the river, and you're going to always prosper. Are you seeing it? So every season you're supposed to produce, you're going to produce. Why? Because you're not hanging around with people who you're walking in step that disagrees with God. Yeah. I'm going to challenge you to go home and check your friend list. Because, you know, I gave you three types of people that you're going to meet in your life. And we're going to talk about that tonight. There's drainers. What's the second type of person? Maintainer. Y'all act like y'all ain't take no Sunday. What's the first one? Drainers. Maintainers. And what's the third type of person? Propeller. Yeah. There are three type of people, three categories of people you're going to meet in your life. A drainer, somebody always coming to drain you. And that's the type of person that God is talking about. If you hang around people like that long enough, he can't plant you by a river of streaming water. That's why, because they're always draining you. They're always pulling you, uprooting you, taking you to another place, and now you're depleted. You're empty, because that's all they want to do is take, 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 and never give. Is that type of person that calls you for prayer but never ask if you need prayer? Hello? A person who always want to talk about their problem but don't care for your problems. Huh? Drainers. Every time you pick up the phone, they just, girl, he at it again. Well, what about my man? And can I tell you about him for a second? And they just go on and on. And they probably take a pause and a break for a second for you, you know, to take a breath. And the minute you try to jump in, they go again. Hello? Y'all call them motor miles? You know, they don't give you a second to even jump in the conversation. And in the moment you're able to change it, they change it right back to them. Huh? The moment that you get a chance edgewise to get a word in to tell them about what you're going through, or maybe you were just too busy to even have the conversation, but they were unconcerned about your time. They're only concerned about what they're going through. You didn't have an opportunity to tell them, hey, I'm in a meeting right now. I can't say, oh, you're in a meeting? But girl, let me tell you this one more thing. Huh? Hey, like, no, I'm in the meeting. Oh, yeah, I know. But listen, you know, and listen, this is what he said. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to let you go. Wait. Oh, hold on now. Huh? Yeah. I promise. I'm going to tell you this one last thing. Drainers, always looking to drain. Drain. And then there are those who are maintainers. Maintainers. Somebody shout maintainer. Maintainer is a person who try to keep you at status quo. They don't want you to go no higher than where you are. They like you right where you at. They don't want you to progress no further in life than what you have progressed. Right? If you got a college degree, they don't want you to go on and get your master's. Your doctor, they just want you right there. If you unemployed right along with them, they don't want you to go get no job. They don't want you to progress no further. They just want you to maintain right where you are. And the point to that is because they don't want to be challenged to move to the next level because they have become complacent. And they good with where they are. So instead of, you know, them celebrating you, encourage you to go to the next level, they rather keep you at that same level they're at because that way they don't have to move. Right? Just a maintainer. A maintainer is somebody who does not want you to go to the next level. It's the crab in the bucket theory. I said it on Sunday, right? You ever seen the crabs in the bucket? You ever watch live crabs? They don't want you to get out the bucket. If you watch live crabs, you seen live crabs before? One try to climb off the bucket, one will reach up and pull them down. No matter what gets in their way. And we want you to stay at the same level, right? A maintainer is one to come put a lid on you. And they don't mind you jumping up, but they don't want you jumping out. Huh? They put a lid on you. And they don't mind you hitting the lid, but they don't want you jumping out. Right? You know, it's scientifically proven that if you take a grasshopper and you put them in a jar and you put a lid on it, it'll leap and hit his head on the lid. It'll leap and hit his head on the lid. He'll do it for several moments. Days. You take the lid off, he won't jump no higher than what he jumped. And just, boom, that's it. And the lid will be off. And he won't even jump out. A maintainer. You know elephants? The Bible, it's biologically proven that elephants, you know, they have memories, that long-term memories, right? They take elephants in the circus, and when they're little elephants, they put these big old ropes around the elephant's neck. And, I mean, when they're tiny elephants, and they tie them to a post, and the elephant will try to pull and break away, and when he realizes he can't break away, he'll just give up. So now, when the elephant becomes older, they can take just a little tiny string and put it around the elephant's neck, and the elephant won't budge to try to break it. Maintain us. Some of us have been systemized by the system of friends we have been hanging out with. Wow. Think about that for a second. You've been hanging around them so long that you don't even feel the unction to move to another place. You have become complacent. Don't want to move on. Why? Because of the people we hang out with. That's why God is so concerned about the people we hang out with. Are y'all with me? Huh? Check up. You got to check your camp. Who's in your camp? Because watch this. The one that's in your camp is the one that's in your ear. And if they're getting your ear long enough, eventually they're getting your heart. And that's how the enemy operates. He's put spies in the camp to get in your ear. Because he knows if he can get your ear, eventually he'll get your heart. And that's that soulish arena, is that now he's got your heart, he got you doing stuff that you never thought you'd be doing. Hello? Oh, girl, I never thought I'd be in a strip club, swing on pole. Yeah, you let somebody get in your ear. Girl, you can make a whole lot of money. You pay your way through college. Y'all quiet. Let's tell the truth in here and shame the devil. I know several girls I went to college with were stripping in the strip club because some girl came up to them and said, hey, girl, you can make a lot of money and you can pay your way through college. Good Christian girls, church-going girls, somebody got in their ear. Huh? Eventually got in their heart. Now they were doing stuff they never thought they would do. Dating married men. Girl, you know, you got some sugar daddies out there. Girl, he married. That's all right. He got money. Getting your ear. Eventually getting your heart. Are y'all with me? That's why it's important that you hang around the right people. The Bible says it this way, that there is safety in the multitude of... It's safety. In the counsel of the godly, there's safety in that, right? And I'm not saying that you should not have ungodly friends. You should have a good group of ungodly friends, because if you stay around a bunch of saved folk, then you have no folk to save. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
And now you're not fulfilling the Great Commission. Huh? If you hang around a bunch of church folk all the time, then you're not fulfilling the mission, the mandate of which God has called us to go ye therefore into all the earth. Make a disciple. So if you got a bunch of saved folk, what's good to hang around a bunch of saved folk all the time? It's like light being in light all the time. It's no good. Are y'all with me? So I'm not saying that we don't have unsaved friends. It's good to have some unsaved friends. You may need them to do some unsaved stuff for you. I'm just playing. But you do need an ear cutter in your group, though. You need a ride or die. You need a Peter in your group. Amen. I got about 12 minutes. You know what? I'm going to take you there since you're there. Amen. You know, there are three types of people, as I told you. They're drainers. What's the next one? What's after that? Propellers. I'm going to give you this one, then I'm going to give you to the three duties of a friend. A propeller is somebody who pushes you to the next level. Somebody who pushes you to the next level. John the Baptist pushed Jesus to the next level. He made the way. He proclaimed the way for Jesus. And when it came down to the Jordan, He said, Jesus said, I need you to baptize me. He said, oh, no, I can't baptize you, Messiah. He said, you know, this has to be done. So John the Baptist was essential to Jesus moving to the next level, push him to the next level. Saul, Apostle Paul, had Barnabas push him to the next level. When he got converted, he was out there preaching, and all the disciples was afraid of Saul, who is now converted to Paul. They were afraid, but Barnabas pulled him in and said, hey, listen, I've seen this man preach. He's been preaching in the name of Jesus. He's all right with me. Push him to the next level. Right? A propeller is somebody who pushes you to the next level. A propeller is somebody who gets you to do something you never thought you could do yourself. You're sitting around the house wondering, what's my purpose in life? Girl, you know, you do hair well. You need to open your own salon. You go to that friend who changed your brakes on your car and changed your oil. Man, you're good at this. You need to open your own mechanic shop. Push you to the next level. Are y'all with me? A propeller is somebody who's like the wind beneath your wings. That when you feel like quitting, feel like giving up, they're the ones who come and pick you up and say, hey, listen, keep on moving. What you doing at home? Get up. Hallelujah. God was Joshua's propeller. My servant Moses is now dead. Move on, Joshua. Push him to the next level. Joshua was still holding on to the past leadership. And God says, you just said, man, nah, Moses dead. Time to move on. A propeller is a person who pushes you. But watch this. Not just push you, but help prepare you for the next place in life. Yeah, Naomi, that's right. Prepares you, gets you ready and equipped for the next level God is moving you to. But watch this. Not only prepares, not only push you, not only prepares you, but also will help provide. Hallelujah. Investing your vision. Right? Somebody who will also invest in you. And not always monetarily, but they might invest some knowledge, some wisdom, some action. You may be sitting around and say, man, listen, I'm thinking about going back to school. Really? I'm free tomorrow. I'm going to go down to the register's office and get the registration packet for you. And that's an investment. Man, I can't make it down to the register. No problem. I'll go pick it up for you. Huh? Man, I don't know where I'm going to get the money from. Don't worry about it, man. I'm going online. I'm going to research and see if we can find a grant for you or something. Y'all with me? That's a propeller. Somebody who's going to encourage you and not discourage you from doing the thing that you feel God is calling you to. Right? They're not going to sit around and give you all the negative aspects of why you shouldn't do what you're doing. That's a maintainer. That's his job. They're not going to sit there and tell you, well, you know, you ain't got this, you ain't got that, and, you know, you don't have no time for this, you don't have time. No. I already know where my deficiencies are. I need you to help me identify my sufficiencies. Amen. I already know what I'm lacking in. I already know that. I need you to help me identify where my strengths are. Amen. I know where I'm weak at. Can you show me my strengths? Can you help me identify that so I can go to the next level? Or are you just going to sit there and just tell me everything that I should not be doing based upon what I don't have, right? So that's a propeller. Propeller. Somebody shout propeller. Yeah, you got to have some propellers in your life, right? So there are three types of poverty. Three types of poverty, right? Reason why I'm telling you all these things is because you have to categorize the people you hang around with. Or because there's three types of poverty, one of which is material, second is spiritual, and the third is relational. So your friends are important because your friendship may impact or will have an impact on your material poverty or your material success. And if you're not careful, they will have an impact on your spiritual poverty, whether you're growing or you're dying. Y'all quiet. You know, it's possible to hang around some people and you lose your religion. I said religion, not relationship. Now I'm talking about your salvation. But you stop going to church. You stop reading, stop praying, stop fasting, stop giving. Why? Because you hang around people who are not reading, not fasting, not going to church, not giving. And you become impoverished spiritually. Huh? And you still save, love the Lord, but you just stop doing certain stuff. Stop serving at church. Become impoverished spiritually because of the people you're hanging around with. Are y'all with me? And then relationally, you know, eventually you stop hanging around godly folk or any folk because of the folk you're hanging out with. They get in your ear, oh, I don't like him. I don't like her. So now you stop hanging around him or her. Y'all quiet. You take on what I call third-party offenses, which is the worst type of offense. Because you really have no determination or no facts on why you shouldn't like that person other than the fact that the friend that you have don't like them. Did you catch that? Now, I don't like you because my friend don't like you. And I don't even know why I don't like you other than the fact that my friend don't like you. You never done nothing to me, but I don't like you because he don't like you. Now your relationship's suffering, right? And you become impoverished relationally. Why? Because you allow the third party to impact your relationships. And you may be, as I said on Sunday, that one friend may have been the one step away from your breakthrough or your destiny, but you have now severed the ties with that friend because of somebody else. And that person may have been the key to your destiny, the connection with your purpose. That could have been the one person that imparted in your life some spiritual truths that will push you to the next level, but you severed the ties. Why? Third-party offense. Just imagine Joseph in the prison, the butler and the baker. And if the baker would have said, I don't like the butler, don't hang out with him. He's too bougie. He hang out with the king. I don't like him, cupbearer. I don't like him. Don't hang out with him. He was the one key to Joseph's destiny. Are y'all with me? So you got to be careful who you hang out with, because they can bankrupt you into poverty relationally. Got to be careful. They'll drain you to the point where now you look around, you have no other friends but that friend. That's the only person you can call and depend on. I'm talking about a true friend. They'll be the only one. And you wonder what happened to all those friends that you had and the group of folks that you used to hang out with and the people that you enjoy time spending. When you look around, ain't nobody else but you and that one. And you're bankrupt in poverty relationally. I can see the wheels turning right now. Y'all just in y'all heads, y'all thinking about that one person that caused all your friends to leave. And they always got a problem with everybody. They're the ones who always got an issue with everybody. Girl, she always talking too much. You too. You know. So, here it is. It is three duties of a friend. Three duties of a friend. First duty of a friend is a friend who prays for you. Pray. Matthew chapter number 26. In verse 36 through 46. And I don't have it for you on the screen, but I'll read it to you. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called, Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and two of the sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, that is, to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus replied, Do you do what you came for? Well, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. He says, stay here and watch with me. In other words, he says, stay here and pray with me. Stay here and pray. The first duty of a friend is that to have a praying friend for your life. Somebody who will pray not only for you, but somebody who will pray with you. Wow. You know, there's a difference in praying for a person and a difference with praying with a person. For and with. You need a friend who will pray for and with you. In other words, I'm in agreement with what you're doing. I'm praying with you on that matter. Amen. I'm not praying for you for the breakthrough, but I'm praying with you. I'm in it with you. Amen. It is called the prayer of intercession. I'm interceding. I'm in this thing with you. I have taken on the burden just as it burdens you, it burdens me. I'm not getting the power of prayer. See, we jump in the prayer line to have people pray for us. But there's nothing more powerful than having a person praying with you. That means that they suffer right along with you. They're grieved right along with you. That they're troubled all night long right along with you because they have taken on the burden of prayer with you. They're praying along with you. They're interceding, intercession, right? They're praying harder for your breakthrough than you are. Wow. That gives you a whole new perspective on prayer. So I don't want you praying for me. I want you praying with me. Pray with me. Let the Spirit of God move on your heart. Because watch this. You may be the answer to the prayer. See, when a person is praying with you, then they're also saying, God, whatever means or whoever it is, even if it's me, God, use it to make it happen. Pray with me. So therefore, the Spirit say, you know, you be the blessing. You be the answer to them. Because you're praying with me, you're going to respond and make it happen. Praying for you says that I'm praying for you, whether it happens for you or not, or well, I did my job. Girl, I prayed for you 3 hours. I've been praying all week long for you. Yeah, but you didn't pray with me, because if you're praying with me, I'm sure within those week, those days, those times, maybe God would have spoken to your heart to say, you know what? I want to use you to be the answer to this prayer. Hello. That's true intercession. That's true prayer. It's when you pray with or along with the person. That's what Jesus was saying. Listen, I'm going off to pray. I want y'all to watch and pray with me. His soul was troubled because he knew in the Garden of Gethsemane he was about to give up his life. So what he was saying was, I want y'all to pray along. Take this burden along with y'all. Really, he was saying, I want y'all to die with me. Y'all quiet. I'm giving you revelation now. I'm about to die. So therefore, I'm giving my life. I expect you to give your life too. That's why he says, take up your cross and follow me. That you should give your life daily as a living sacrifice. He said, I want you to pray along with me. I want you to die just like I'm dying. It's strangely quiet in this place. So you got to have a friend that's going to pray with you, not just for you, but with you. That's the duty of a friend. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, pray with me. So you got to have a friend that'll pray with you. You got to have a friend that'll slay with you. Now, anytime my ladies get all prettied up and glammed up. But you know, you got to have a friend. We talked about Peter, verse number 50 says that Jesus replied, do what you came for, friend, talking about Judas. Then a man stepped forward, seized Jesus, arrest him. With that, one of his Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting his ear off. You got to have people, a friend, who will slay for you. Somebody who will stand with you even when you're not standing there. Good God Almighty. Somebody who got your back even when you're not present. Oh, God. You need a friend who will be willing to cut another ear off, cut his tongue off for talking about you in your absence. That's the true type of friend. That's the duty of a friend, is that when you're not there, they're there for you. Girl, you know, he said this, she did that. Hey, don't talk about my friend like that. Even if it's true, you don't have the right to talk about my friend like that. You don't get to say that. You don't get to judge them like that. That's my friend. That's my boy. That's my girl. You take that elsewhere. Right? Even at the expense of losing that person, if this is truly a friend and this is an associate, hey, look, bye-bye. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. You need a friend who will slay with you, somebody who will be willing to cut the ear off. And watch this. Peter cut off the ear of the high priest, the servant of the high priest. Most theologians say there was a nephew of the high priest. Just the mere fact that he cut off the servant of the high priest was treasonable. They would have took Peter away and killed him for doing such a thing. High treason. But he was willing to put his life on the line for a friend. Good God Almighty. He was willing to give it all up for his friend. You got to have a friend that will be willing to slay, to go to bat for you. Right? Hallelujah. So you got to have a friend that prays. You got to have a friend that slays. And y'all ain't going to like this last one. But a friend that pays. A friend that pays. A friend that pays. The Bible says this way. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Preacher man, preacher man. Boy, is that the God life? That you have passed by a brother in need and keep on going? He passed on the other side. So too a Levite, another preacher, when he came to the place and saw him, pass on the other side. But a Samaritan, an ungodly man, a heathen, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring out oil and wine, and he put the man on his own donkey. He didn't call Uber. He didn't call the man's next family member. He put the man on his own donkey, put him in his car. Y'all quiet. He didn't call a taxi. He didn't call an ambulance. He put him on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. Well, watch this. I never saw this. I never saw this part of the text before. But it says the next day. So he stayed with him all night. Good God Almighty. You know, I read that for many years. I never saw that. He stayed with him all night long. But not only stayed with him, but he also paid for a couple more days for him to be there. Wow. He stayed with him all night. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and I will return. I will reimburse you for any extra expenses he may have. You got to have a friend, or a duty of a friend, who will be willing to pay. To take care of some things. Hallelujah. That's a true friend. A friend that'll pray with you. A friend that'll slay for you. and a friend that'll pay in your time of need. Because truth of the matter, we all go on hard times at times. Huh? We all going to experience it. But it's nothing better to have a friend that you can call on, that you know they have your back. A friend that you can pick up the phone who's there for you. That's the duty of a friend. That's why it's so important to God who we hang around with. Because watch this. I told you before in the message about Abraham, there's three things God did for Abraham. He gave Abraham descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, the sands of the field. He gave Abraham a great name. But the third thing he did for Abraham in Deuteronomy, he gave Abraham a blessing. Watch this, so he can be a blessing. He blessed him so he can be a blessing. And there are people that God has assigned to our lives. He says, I put them in your life to be a blessing to you. I have assigned them to your life to be a blessing to you. But you got to be careful to weed out those who God has not assigned. Wow. And watch this. I've told you before. There's a difference between your anointing and your assignment. And there may be people in your life right now, they're very anointed, but they're not assigned to you. They can be very anointed, prolific in speech and sound, and give you a good word in your life, but they're not assigned to you. You'll know when it's time to go beyond the words and it's time to go to action if they're still there. Y'all quiet. You'll know then their assignment if that, oh, you're prolific in prophesying in my life, but now I need some manifestation. So you're anointed, but you're not assigned. You're not assigned. So you got to be careful who you let in your inner circle. Even the anointed ones. Now you may want to go home and pray that God send the anointed and the assigned in your life. So now you can get a double fold blessing. They can speak a word, but yet at the same time help that word come to manifestation. Are you with me? So that's the duties of a friend. And you will have these type of friends in your life. And you can categorize these friends by the three categories of people that you encounter in life. Drainer, maintainer, or propeller. These are the type of people. And I left you with a question on Sunday. And I'm going to pose it to you again. What category do you fall in? What category do you fall in? Are you a drainer? Don't lift your hand. No. Don't move too much. You may give yourself away. Mm. Are you the one always in need? Always need a blessing, but never given a blessing? Are you the one who just cool with where you are and where your group is, your crew, your clique, your crowd? Or are you a propeller? Because watch this. God wants you to be a friend to his church. Y'all quiet right here. And you could be a drainer to the church. Prayer time, okay, I'm here at the altar in need of prayer, but you're not here for prayer. Y'all, hello. This is where the road gets tough through here, but we're going to plow through, right? You call the prayer line for prayer, but you won't dial in to pray for nobody else. Y'all want you to be a friend of the church. And we drain the church because it's always about us. Then maintainers. Maintainers, we just come in, status quo. Don't invite nobody. Ain't evangelizing. Just maintain. I like where it's at. You know, some people like small churches. And that's fine. But God never does anything small. Everything I ever seen God do is big. He always took the small and multiplied it. Hello. And we become maintainers in the church. And we just maintain. But then there are those who are propellers, who come to breathe life and a fresh wind that comes with fresh vision, fresh enthusiasm, fresh vigor. It says, hey, let's do this, let's do that. Hey, Pastor, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? You know, I got this stuff in my storage room that I don't even use. Can we use it for something? Hello? You know what? You know, I got all of this stuff. Can we sell it? You know, maybe for a sale, do something so we can do something at the church. Propeller. And God is looking for friends. He wants you to be a friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So our friendships, our relationships are important to God. They're so important. So I'm going to challenge you this week. Here's your challenge for this week. There are some prayer cards in the foyer. Oh, how y'all like the wall? We painted the wall. Ain't nobody say nothing now. Yeah. He's the only game in? Amen. It ain't done yet. Amen. You like it? Amen. You like it too? Amen. Here's your challenge for this week. There's some prayer cards in the foyer, right? Those prayer cards, on the right side of that card, is a place for you to pray for three people. Right? So this week is your challenge. I want you to pray for three. Pray for three people, right? Pray for three people. I want you to, pray for three, and then I want you to pay for three. Take somebody out to lunch. Take them out to dinner or something. Or shall I say hang with three, because y'all don't like to pay for three. How about that? Just hang with three. Pray for three, hang with three. Yeah. Pray for three. Right there on the side, right there. Pray for three. Write them down, the three people that you're praying for. Those three people, I want you to hang with them this week. Take them out to dinner. Take them out to lunch. Preferably pay for their lunch. Sow into their life. Amen. You know your money can be a witness. Did you hear me? Your money can be a witness. And you investing in somebody's life can be a witness into their life. Right? You can't buy nobody into salvation. But you show enough and get their heart ready to receive it. Woo! Y'all quiet right there. Can I tell you something right quick before we close? You know when Jesus fed the multitude and gave the fish, the 5,000, the fish and five loaves, two fish and five loaves? You know the very next verse after that, next chapter, the Bible says they came looking for Jesus. And they were frantic. Where were you? Where were you? I love Jesus. Jesus got some swag. Jesus said, you ain't come because of the word I gave you. You came for the fish and the bread. You came looking for me not because you got the word. You came for what I gave you. You came with a two-piece and a biscuit. That's what you came for. Huh? You see, so here it is. Jesus knew the intent of the people's heart. So he was willing to feed them, but yet, because he knew that they would be coming back again. So you can't buy them in, but you sure enough can get their hearts ready to come in. You know, we serve the homeless population downtown all week long. I say all week because every opportunity I get, I'm downtown. And sometimes I eat lunch downtown. And while I'm there, the homeless people come by. And I'll buy them lunch. And they'll sit down and talk. And while we're talking, I get to minister to them. Right? If I didn't buy them lunch, they wouldn't sit down. They wouldn't sit down. I wouldn't have a chance to minister. They get their hearts right and ready. When I'm there getting lunch or in the grocery store, and the Holy Spirit say, buy this person grocery, buy that person grocery, and all of a sudden now I get time for conversation. Oh, you didn't have to do that? I know I didn't. The Holy Spirit told me I had to do it. God bless you. Oh, thank you so much. You know, I had that strange thing happen to me last night. I wanted to tell you about this before I forgot. I don't know if y'all remember this testimony. I'm closing. But pray for three, hang with three, and then invite three. Let me tell you that first. Pray for three, hang with three, and invite three. Pray for three. Say it with me. Pray for three, hang with three, invite three. Yeah. So that's your challenge this week. Pray for three people. Hang out with them. Get in the boat with them. See how you can serve them and then invite them. But 2002, I was at the water company and we were living in a townhouse on Antrim. And I went to go pay the water bill that morning. We were painting the house at the apartment. And I got up that morning and I had to go run and pay the water bill. I had jeans on, still had paint on my jeans. And be honest with you, didn't brush my teeth, didn't comb my hair because I was rushing out. And so I got to the water company, huh? TMI too much, but it's the truth. And so as I got there to the water company, I had holes in my jeans. And I went to open the door. The line was long. And y'all probably heard me share this testimony before. And this guy opens the door for me as I'm walking in the building. And as I'm walking in, he said, "Man, you look good this morning." I'm thinking, I got jeans on, probably still got crust in my eyes. To be honest with you, the first thing that came to my mind was that he was gay and was hitting on me. That's what I thought. Just me. Didn't comb my hair, got painted jeans on. What looked good about me, right? What'd that mean? Nah. So as I was walking into the building, the Holy Spirit said, "No, he saw your robes of righteousness." Oh, what should I say? I had hat in. I put a spell on you. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, "No, he saw the robes of righteousness on you." I said, "Okay, praise God, I got it." I got in line. The line was long. The lady I got behind in the line, I promised to God, it was about 8 o'clock in the morning, and she smelled just like a smoke shop. She smelled like weed, like she bathed in a bathtub full of dope. That's how much she smelled at 8 o'clock in the morning. So as I'm standing behind her, I started praying because I'm like, God, you know. And I mean, I was just about catching a contact buzz just being behind her. So I'm praying, and she gets fidgety and she starts yelling in the line. "Where's Mr. Parker? Where's Mr. Parker? Mr. Parker said he wouldn't turn my water off. I got my 12 grandbabies at the house, and he promised me he wouldn't turn my water off." And she started cussing him. "They better not him ever, da 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 da." And I just started praying. Well, she got real nervous. She turned back, and she looks at me. She don't say nothing. So I just kept on praying. I just nodded my head at her. She goes back into her rant, her tirade. "Mr. Parker, y'all get him out here. That MF, da, 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 da." Started praying. So finally, she turns, she looks at me again. She turns back. Secondly, she looks back at me again. She says, "You're a man of God, aren't you?" I ain't said a word to her, just prayed. I said, "Yes, ma'am, I sure am." She said, "Oh, God, can you pray for me? I got 12 kids. I know I'm not living right, da, da, da. My grandkids at the house, and my water's about to be turned off, da, da, da." So I prayed for her there in the line at the water company. I tell you all that to say that was 2002. Last night in Walmart, I go to get toilet tissue. As I'm standing, that was before that. That was before the toilet tissue. I had to go back and get toilet tissue. No, I gotta make sure I get the story straight. So I went to the store, forgot the toilet tissue. I got some other stuff, but forgot toilet tissue. But while I'm there in the store, there's a lady in a motor, one of the motor cars, right? She's in the line. And as she's in the line, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Pay for her stuff." And I couldn't see her. Her back was turned. So as she was digging in the wallet to get her money out, the Holy Spirit said, "Pay for it." I swiped the card. The cashier said, "What you doing?" I said, "Just obeying God." Swiped the card. And then when the lady looks back at me, it's the lady from 2002. The same lady. And she looks back at me and she says, Same words. You're a man of God, aren't you? And she didn't even recognize me. 15 years. Right? Your money can be a witness. You got to have a friend that'll pray. I prayed for her. A friend that would slay. Because after she walked up that line, people were like, I can't believe she ain't here talking. I said, yeah, but you don't know her situation. You're not walking a mile in her shoes. You don't know what she's dealing with. You got to have a friend that'll slay. And you got to have a friend that'll pay. 15 years later, God brought that all the way back around. And guess what? She smelled like weed that night too. So this week, your challenge. Pray for three, hang with three, and invite three. So I want all you guys to pick up one of these cards on the way out. And then there may be something that you're in need of prayer of as well. But I want you to know tonight there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard. It's nothing too hard. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you're concerned of every aspect of our lives. You're concerned about our faith in you, O God, because it is our faith that is pleasing unto you. You're concerned about our family, God. You're concerned about the well-being of our family. You're concerned about our friends, our finances, our fitness, God. You're concerned about every aspect of our lives. And tonight, Father, we do as Jesus did. We die to ourselves, God, and we submit and render under our wills unto you, asking you, God, to do only what you can do in our lives. So, Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you, God. Bless each and every person here tonight under the sound of my voice. Father, let them experience you greatly throughout the week. And, Father, as we begin this time of revival, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will begin to quicken on the inside of each and every one of us. Relight the fire. Kindle the fire, God. Let a passion burn even brighter than ever before. Let a revival, God, break out on the inside of us first, God, before it breaks out on the outside. Let a renewal happen within us, God, before you renew anything in our lives. Let it first happen in us, God. So, Father, we thank you for it. We bless you. It's in Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Somebody say amen and amen. As we prepare to give and worship God tonight through our giving, amen. We sow a seed tonight. We say, God, we thank you for all that you have done. Can you pass those down? Amen. We'll give everyone an opportunity to sow tonight. We say, God, we thank you for what you have done, but what you are going to do as well in our lives this week. Every harvest requires a seed. There will never be a harvest without a seed. In order for you to reap a harvest, you must first have sown a seed.